recently taught at the Voice of Many Waters Congregation. This series combines neuroscience research with biblical scripture to help you discover your spiritual gifts. Learn to function from love, not fear. Be at peace with yourself. Feel complete, confident, and spiritually fulfilled as you realize your design in life and the importance of being equipped to serve the kingdom of God. For a love offering of $30 or more, receive a printed or email compilation of this in-depth study, scientific research, scripture, and two personal questionnaires. One evaluates brain processing, and the other one directs you towards your potential spiritual gifts. Learn how your mind, body, and spirit can heal from past hurts. Discover how to rid yourself of toxic thinking, speech, and bad habits. Realize how to understand yourself and others better, increase discernment, and walk in wisdom, love, and forgiveness using the biblical foundations to build up the body of Messiah. Send your payment to Voice of Many Waters, P.O. Box 626, Johnstown, Colorado, 80534, and include your name, address, and phone number or email address. That's P.O. Box 626, Johnstown, Colorado, 80534.
Well, Dr. Stan here at American Heating Network, our guest this morning is Buck Keeley, and we're going to be just talking about gardening, about how people should begin learning how to grow their own food. We're heading into a difficult situation. I really believe that chaos and crisis lies ahead, and we may very well see some breakdown. I don't know what is going to happen, but some breakdown in our ability to get food, especially if we're in a large city. Certainly, rural areas, they'll always be able to be in contact with the farmers, and hopefully the farmers and increasingly farm markets will be open for people. But it's a good idea to begin thinking about how you would grow your own food. And basically, most of us don't understand the difference between fertilizing and putting manure on and the importance of composting. And composting is something that we should be doing all the time, especially now when the leaves are coming down and they can be gathered together and put into a compost pile. But certainly you don't want to hear me talking about it because this is not my field. In fact, I am constantly learning, and I and my son and our family are learning how to grow our own food. So with us this morning is Buck Keeley, and Buck, of course, has a business where he sells seeds and he sells fertilizer. But understand the difference between fertilizer and manure. Most people don't even understand. They just don't think along these lines. Good morning, Buck. Thanks very much for being with us.
It's good to be with you, and I thank you for another opportunity to share with you.
Well, let's talk a little bit. This is the harvest time, and people are getting in their squashes and their other things that they have, preparing for winter, but when should people start thinking about planting plants, especially if you have a greenhouse, for next year?
Well, planting is something you can do year-round no matter what growing zone you live in. It's just the degree of precaution you have to take in preparation. This is a good time of the year in the southern regions to be putting in a fall garden. I got a picture in yesterday from one of our seed customers who sent me a picture of their fall garden down in Atlanta. They had radishes and turnips and rutabagas and carrots and potatoes and all those fall crops in. It really looked nice. So it's not too late in the southern regions to be putting in a fall garden, particularly for greens. Collard greens and lettuces and those kind of things do well. And the beet greens this time of the year, if you put them in for beets, you'll have beet greens here in about 3 to 4 weeks. They're very tender and tasty. And so gardening is something you do year-round. You can move that indoors, as you mentioned, with something as elaborate as a greenhouse or something as simple as doing shelf growing. One of the things I do is I do soil sprouting. And the difference between sprouting and soil sprouting is you actually sow the plants into shallow trays of soil. A larger seed like pumpkin seed and squash seed and pea seed and those kind of things you can sow into soil and let them grow to about 4 inches high and harvest them, and they have a very great nutritional value and a wonderful taste, as well as just sprouting in traditional jars is an excellent source of greens during the winter. And, you know, if you live in a moderately warm to cool climate, it may be in zones 4B to 5A, you can grow on your, if you have a deck or a southern exposure, you can grow plants and bring them in during the threat of frost. And get fresh product that way as well. So you can garden year-round. it just takes a little more effort as the days get shorter and you lose sunlight, and as the temperatures gets cooler and you have the threat of frost. So gardening is something you can do year-round and something you ought to do. You ought to be practicing that. You just mentioned on your introduction about the food distribution and the ability, whether or not it's going to be available from the farmer to the producer to the consumer. And I don't think the typical American, your listeners probably do, but I don't think the typical American understands how fragile our food supply is with the centralized production and harvesting and then distribution that we have in America today, that your food comes via transportation on one way or the other, and it's very fragile. So you ought to be preparing in your own life how to provide that substance for yourself. And you can do that if you have a yard where you put a garden. If you don't, you live in the inner city and you have a balcony. You can do balcony growing with the urban garden packs that we sell, to where you can be a part of that process of providing for yourself sustainable and renewable food that's not only tastes better, it's healthier for you than the things that you can get out of the system that is established for our food supply here in America. So it's something that everybody ought to be participating in now. It's not something you do tomorrow. It's something you start right now.
Well, now, you mentioned Zone 4 or Zone 5. Could you explain to our listeners what the zones are?
There's basically the weather zones are based upon first and last frost dates, and it's basically a chart of dating for planting where that a person can go and see, based upon where they live, how early they can put out their vegetables without fear of frost. And it's the baseline by which other seeds determine whether it's going to be 2 weeks before last frost or 3 weeks before last frost. And if you'll go to our website at seedcatalog.com and pick on any of the categories, it will tell you what zone that particular vegetable should be planted in the timing. So you can find where you live and what time you ought to be planting your seeds.
All right, fine. And so basically, the website has all the zones listed in it and when you should start planting. I want to tell our listeners how to get to the website.
Okay, well, if you'll go to your browser, whatever browser you use, and type into the address bar, seedcatalog.com. That's all one word, seedcatalog.com. That'll take you to our front page where you'll find a tremendous amount of information about the difference between heirloom seeds and GMO seeds and a variety of other information about the importance of having a sustainable and renewable source of food. And then you click on Shop Seeds, that takes you inside the store. And in the store on the left-hand side, you'll see categories for every kind of seed we sell, for beans or beetroot or broccoli or Brussels sprouts and those kind of things. And you click on one of those, and it'll bring you into the seeds themselves. And there's two links inside of there. One is for the zone that you live in. The other is for planting information. They'll give you a ton of information on how to handle your seed, plant them, and how to even prepare the product from them.
All right. And now, is this a good time to be composting, or is this something you do year-round?
Well, it's like gardening. Most people approach gardening as a one-time event a year. But really, gardening is year-round. Sometimes it's more tense than others. But this time of the year, if you're not putting in a fall harvest, it's a good time to plant a cover crop like clover or something that you put on the ground, just sow the seed. And when you till that in the springtime, that provides nutrients to the soil, nitrogen, and other things that it needs. So you could be throwing on your garden some clover seed or other cover crop seed.
We'll be back here in just a moment with Buck Elias.
Our children are America's most precious resource. The hopes and dreams for the future rest entirely with them. Don't let your child destroy their future with drugs. Talk to them openly about the dangers so they can fight back against the peer pressure they face daily. Encourage your children to just say no to drugs. That's from Brown's Small Engine Repair in Rapid City. They're another local concerned and involved business working toward a safer and drug-free environment for all. That's Brown's Small Engine Service and Repair. On the air, because they care. This is Pastor Michael Golden encouraging you to learn more about the gifts God has given you with a life-changing 12-week study we recently taught at the Voice of Many Waters Congregation. This series combines neuroscience research with biblical scripture to help you discover your spiritual gifts. Learn to function from love, not fear. Be at peace with yourself. Feel complete, confident, and spiritually fulfilled as you realize your design in life and the importance of being equipped to serve the kingdom of God. For a love offering of $30 or more, receive a printed or email compilation of this in-depth study, scientific research, scripture, and two personal questionnaires. One evaluates brain processing, and the other one directs you towards your potential spiritual gifts. Learn how your mind, body, and spirit can heal from past hurts. Discover how to rid yourself of toxic thinking, speech, and bad habits. Realize how to understand yourself and others better, increase discernment, and walk in wisdom, love, and forgiveness using the biblical foundations to build up the body of Messiah. Send your payment to Voice of Many Waters, P.O. Box 626, Johnstown, Colorado, 80534, and include your name, address, and phone number or email address. That's P.O. Box 626, Johnstown, Colorado, 80534.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess this morning Buck Daly, and Buck is pointing out that gardening is something that's really a year-round process, and certainly some areas are better. You can have a better garden than others. It really depends upon how much sunlight you're having, how soon the frost is. If you're in an area where frost, of course, frost will kill the plants. You've got to be able to take them in. But you can put them out if you have any containers, put them out, or if you have a greenhouse. Can you actually build a greenhouse simply with plastic and then some sort of wooden frame, or do you need a more expensive greenhouse?
Well, it's like everything else in our culture that the way that you make money on something is you take something that's simple and make it more complicated so that the average individual looks at it and says, well, I can't do that. All a greenhouse is a protection from cold weather and provides sunlight. That I have a friend who began a huge nursery business based on some old windows that were removed out of a house that he leaned up on the side of a barn and provided for his plants to be matured about 3 weeks earlier than anybody else's. His idea was to plant them and sell the tomatoes, but he wound up making more money selling the plants rather than the tomatoes. So a greenhouse is as simple as a couple of windows leaned up against a barn so that it lets the sun through. And if it gets cold enough, you can throw some kind of source of heat in there to keep them warm. So a person that's on a budget that does not have disposable income that can allow them to go out and buy a production greenhouse, be creative. And you can pick PVC pipe and make a hoop row cover. And basically all that is taking PVC pipe and bending it in an arch and sticking it in the ground about every 2 or 3 foot apart and then putting plastic over the top of it that you put over at nighttime when the frost comes, and you leave it on there during the daytime if the temperatures are cool, or pull it back if they're getting warm. And it's more work than a commercial greenhouse, but you can be 3 or 4 weeks ahead of anybody else in your planting by using hoop houses. When I was at Israel, it was the first time I took notice of these. In Israel, when they put in their row crops, they automatically put down the hoops because they produce their food for a nation off of the small area they have, as well as for already other foods. But the hoop houses is very simple to build. They're, when the threat of frost is gone, you pull them up and you have your garden planted. So, no, greenhouses are not anything complicated. It's just as simple as you're providing a way to keep the frost off your plants and a way to hold heat in if you have to throw some auxiliary heat in. And anybody can build a greenhouse. Just depends on how complex you want it to be and how good you want it to look. But greenhouses is oftentimes emulated in your home. When you're getting ready for your tropical-based plants like tomatoes or peppers, and you put the seed in the ground, in the sprouting trays, and you put them in your windowsill so it gets extra sunlight, you're actually providing a greenhouse environment for those seeds to grow. So when you think of a greenhouse, what you think of is something that lets light through and something you can put heat into to maintain above freezing temperatures. Now, if you want to grow in greenhouses, that's a little more complicated, where you have to have a structure where you can get in and actually move around inside of it and provide alternate sources of lighting if you want to extend your growing season through the wintertime. But if you're looking to get a jump on your garden or to extend your garden, greenhouses is just as simple as a barrier that allows light through.
Well, I was noticing, I was over in the Watsonville area where they grow a lot of raspberries, and I noticed they have these hoops, and they're covered up with some sort of a fabric. And I mean, there'd just be these long rows of raspberries, and then these hoops over the top of them. Is that something relatively new? I don't remember ever seeing these before.
That probably what those were netting to keep birds out of the raspberries. Same basic idea as a greenhouse hoop house, only they're using a fabric that keeps the birds from coming in and devastating the crops. And it could have been, I haven't seen it, so I'm not sure what you're alluding to, but it could have been shade cloth as well. That if you have a greenhouse and you're going to grow in it during the summertime, you have to have some way of shading the direct sun, and you'll have a shade cloth you'll put over it. But more and more of the berry growers, as they're finding markets for their local berries, they're competing with the natural predators, and that's the birds that comes in and eat those berries. That's probably what it was.
That's interesting. I knew that they were doing this for a reason, but I hadn't even thought of the birds. But certainly the birds would have difficulty getting into this sort of a situation. But although people can walk up and down the aisles, it's just a great big hoop, metal hoop, with the cloth, bridging over the top of them, and, they'd be a couple hundred feet long. Well, basically, when would people start thinking about if they're going to grow from seeds, let's say they're tomatoes, if we were going to start growing them indoors, would we talk about February, March, April? Where would we be thinking about here? I'm living in the Monterey Bay area, which is fairly temperate climate. We don't get snow or anything like. Don't get frost right where I am.
But that for all seed planting, there's two variables that has to be addressed. One is soil temperature for germination, and then second is the numbers of hours of light that you have for the plants. And each plant will vary on how much sunlight that it needs. A good rule of thumb, if you plant a seed that says requires full sunlight, like a tomato, as you read about planting instructions, it'll tell you that it wants full sunlight. That means that if you plant that in an off season, if you plant tomatoes this time of the year with anticipations of having a harvest of tomatoes in February, you'll probably have to, even in your region, provide some extra light so that you're able to produce fruit. That when you move down towards the equator, the light balances out between the amount of hours of daylight and dark to where it's equal, and temperature increases. So on the equator, about anything can be grown anytime without any consideration for soil temperature or light. But as you move northward and southward off the equator, the dynamics of the light shifts as the sun patterns shift. And so you get longer summer daylight and shorter winter daylight, and that's a key for growing plants. And so something that requires full sunlight, as you move northward off of the equator where we're at, you have to consider providing a secondary source of full-spectrum light. The heat's easily taken care of by providing for it an alternate source of heat in the greenhouse. But if you're going to grow tomatoes in your region, you could probably be marginal. You won't get an excellent crop, but you will get a crop. But if you add a full-spectrum light, you'll get a good crop. So the key to knowing what you're going to plant is what it requires in sunlight as well as soil temperature. But this time of the year, outdoors, is there's plenty that should be done this time of the year. This is the time of the year that you plant garlic. If you're a garlic eater like I am, garlic requires to have a freeze or a cold season, a number of days of cool temperature in the soil before it puts on bulbs. So October is a great time that you plant your bunch onions and your garlic. Peas this time of the year, you can sow your spring peas, and come springtime, they'll come up when that soil temperature hits that optimum for them to germinate, and they're hardy against frost. If you get an early frost, it won't hurt them. So you can do those kind of plantings now. And if you want to plant indoors, I would look at plants like lettuce. Is a great harvest crop that you can plant in a small greenhouse or on your windowsill. Radishes will do relatively well with limited sunlight. They're an early plant. And those things, unless I was well trained, I wouldn't invest a lot of energy in something that was going to fail unless that I bought equipment with grow lights and those kind of things if I was going to grow indoors this time of the year.
Would you say this is a good time for onions? You put the onions in?
Yeah, there's two types of onions. There's bunch onions. Actually, there's probably four types, but they're basically broke down into two main categories: bunch onions and bulb onions. When you think of the onions you buy at the store that are 2 or 3 inches in diameter that you buy off of the produce shelf, those are bulb onions, and those are best planted early spring. There's bunch onions. My grandmother used to call them winter onions because they're as long as there's not a hard freeze, you can go out and you can harvest the tops of them. They don't put on bulbs, and they're not scallions where you plant them for the white, non-bulbous areas either, that you harvest the greens on them. And bunch onions was one of the ways that our parents and our grandparents and our great-grandparents provided seasoning and taste and flavor as well as nutrients to their winter foods, that they would take out a can of tomatoes that they had canned that fall, and then they would go out and get some bunch onions, and they would cut onions to give it some flavor and taste. Those can be planted down. They'll do well.
The bottom onions, is that the tops of the onions, or you pull up the bulb and eat the bulb?
The bunch onions is where you're going to eat the tops of them. You just go out and cut them like you would a scallion, and they'll replenish themselves. The bulb onions is what you would dig from the garden come fall time. That we just harvested about 2 weeks ago our onions, and so we went out and dug our onions. We had anything from 3 and 4 inch diameter down to a couple inch diameter bulbs that we will now tie and hang and give us onions through the winter. And then my bunch onions are in an annual part of my garden where it doesn't get tilled under with garlic and others, and harvest those throughout the winter.
But yeah, can you eat the bulb part? I saw the
All
the bulbs in the store.
Yeah, the bulb onions, like Walla Wallas or Spanish onions or whites or red onions, all those are designed and grow that you eat the bulbs. When you plant them, you don't harvest those until the greens die back. When you plant onions that you're going to harvest the bulbs, that what happens is the height of the greens at the height of the hours of sunlight determines how big the bulb is, and then those greens actually die back before you harvest them. When you're doing bunch onions, it's exactly the opposite. They never put on bulbs. The root system feeds the greens, and so you harvest the greens throughout the year. So it's two different types of onions in the way that they grow. But you can also eat the bottoms of them, but the design is to eat the tops.
Okay, and so I saw those in the store, and I just was a little uncertain as to what they were, what you'd be doing with them at this time of year. We're suggesting people get them along with, of course, tulips and other things of that sort. Well, basically, then, as we talk about planting our garden, of course, most people are going to be thinking about the springtime, and, of course, right now is the time you're getting the soil ready. Is that right?
Yes, there's two or three processes before you plant that you want to consider. One is, you had mentioned in your introduction, composting. Composting is something you should be doing year-round. But this time of the year, you have great organic matter coming in with the leaves. Most people will rake their leaves, bag their leaves, and have them hauled off or take them to someplace themselves. And most of your city recycling centers now have a place where they'll give you a reduced rate or even free for taking your organic matter to them, and they actually compost it and then sell out the compost. So this time of the year, as you're raking your leaves, they make great compost matter. And as you build your compost, the kind of a rule of thumb for that is you want 90% brown and 10% green. Green grass clippings and that kind of thing are heavy in nitrogen, and is about 10% is what you want in your compost pile so that it doesn't smell. Anything brown, cardboard is a great composting. If you have cardboard boxes, rather than to take them to the dump and have them bale them and sell them out or whatever, or to burn them, take those cardboard boxes and tear them up into smaller pieces and put them on your compost pile. Any type of organic matter from your kitchen, no meats in there or animal waste, but anything out of your kitchen that you have prepared to eat when you clean your fruits and vegetables, whatever you have left over from salads and dinner or vegetables you eat, don't throw that away. Put that on your compost pile, and what you're going to do is you're going to produce organic matter that you can augment your soil with in your garden. And this time of the year, what you do is you build that compost pile all winter long, And come springtime, you've got a fresh, ripe pile of compost you can spread on your garden and till it in and have this enhanced soil that will give you a jump start on your planting. And also, it's a good time to be planning what you're going to do as far as feeding your plants, to make preparations for either having compost matter that you have that's refined that you put around your plants, or if you're going to build your own fertilizers and those kind of things, so that come springtime, you have soil that's not only augmented and made better, but you have preparations for your plants.
All right. Well, we're just all of these things. Now, what about putting manure on your compost pile? Will that help it to rot more efficiently, or is that something that you would do separately?
Well, we've talked about this before in these terms, and I don't be facetious, but the cow is God's original composting machine. That they take organic matter and they ruminate that matter through their stomachs, and when their waste comes out, it basically has some of the nutrients removed, but the vast amount of those nutrients are still in the animal waste.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back.
Whether you already know essential oils are valued for their ancient wisdom and wellness, or you're considering their use as a viable, non-toxic, healthy alternative, your question should be the same. Are all essential oils certified pure therapeutic grade? Who makes the highest quality essential oils available? Do all tests for safety and meet rigorous standards? Can all oils pass the scrutiny of health professionals and scientists? Many essential oils don't meet these standards, so ask one more question. Where can I find the most powerful, reasonably priced, certified pure therapeutic grade essential oils? doTERRA, gift of the earth. doTERRA, committed to natural, empowering ideals. If you're new to essential oils or a seasoned expert, you'll recognize the superior quality of doTERRA certified pure therapeutic grade essential oils with your first experience. Call 970-493-6789. That's 970-493-6789 or RockyMountainEssentialOil.com. That's RockyMountainEssentialOil.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of The Green Herb.
Is it me, or have you noticed that personal service is becoming a thing of the past? Is a big store with untrained personnel, or going to a vitamin store and finding several brands of the same herbal product, all at different prices? You don't need to be an herbal expert at The Green Herb. We'll gladly help you decide which of The Green Herb's exclusive products will work for you and work better than anything you buy elsewhere. And we'll give you an old-fashioned money-back guarantee. Come by The Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB, that's 888-765-4372, or go to our website at www.thegreenherb.com. It's The Green Herb's policy to give you small-town service in the big city, and be sure to listen to The Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution.
As conflict in the Middle East intensifies, our preparedness is vital, and the need for increased blood supplies is imminent. A pint of blood could save the life of one of our servicemen or women across the world. Give blood generously. Your donation will help ensure the lifeline of victory. Call the American Red Cross for details. That's from A-Best Enterprises for quality services backed by their years of experience. Call 303-659-4477. That's A-Best Enterprises in Brighton. They care about the safety and health of our troops overseas.
Well, Dr. Dan, our guest this morning, Buck Healy. And Buck, before we go on, I want you to get out your website, and then I want you to tell our listeners about the seed packs that you have, the various ones that you have, and certainly you have different packs of seeds for all different sorts of people, depending upon whether they have just small rooftop gardens or an acre or more of a vegetable garden to plant. So why don't you give the information on that? Go right ahead.
Already, Dr. Stan, that you can find our website at seedcatalog.com. That's SEEDCATALOG, seedcatalog.com, all one word. And our phone number is toll-free, 1-888-866-9132. One more time, it is 1-888-866-9132. And on our website, you're going to find as you come into it, to the front page, you'll see, as I said earlier, all kinds of helpful articles and information about the difference between hybrid and genetically modified and heirloom seeds. We sell only heirloom seeds for two reasons. Number one is that they are sustainable and renewable. That means that you can plant the seed from the crops that you grow and get like seed. Just the other day we had a meal with a family, and we had one of our melons, and they're gathering the seed off the table to replant those seeds because they wanted the seed in their garden. So that's the advantage of the heirloom seeds. They're going to produce the same plant that you ate. But we sell only the heirloom seeds, so if you go to our home site and the front page and click on Shop for Seed, that'll take you into the store. And as you come into the store, as I said earlier, on the left-hand side we'll have categories where it has beans and beetroot and broccoli and cabbage and carrots and celery, and you can click in those areas and buy individual packets of seeds. But if you look to the center of the page, you'll see that we have four categories. One is value packs, and those are packed with the reduced price for the number of packs of seeds you're buying. They're actually cheaper to buy the pack than the individual seeds. And we have an herb lovers pack for people who are into cooking with herbs, with things like basil and oregano and other things like that you'll find in it. And a pepper lovers pack, which has a good cross-section of both sweet and hot peppers. A tomato lovers pack, which has a good cross-section of all of our tomatoes, including the large to the cherry grape tomatoes. A large garden pack, which will be enough to plant a backyard garden of 50 by 100 with everything from the early spring to the late fall plants selected out, and you'll see that there's a variety of good, solid plants in there. And then we sell a small city garden. And basically that's so if you have a little 10 by 20 plot in your backyard that you can plant, or if you're doing container planting, that's a good choice for you, and that will have the same thing, a subset of everything that you can plant in a garden. And then we have the urban garden, and I believe that the urban garden packs what you got, Dr. Stan, from us, which has a smaller subset, but it has a good cross-section. It won't have corn in it, obviously, because it's hard to grow corn in an urban situation on your patio or in your backyard. So it has a smaller section of seed, but it has a good cross variety. And then you'll see we sell seed banks. And you and I have talked about this in other shows, but the elite of our society are storing seeds in the Antarctic because of the genetically modified seeds and the terminator gene they're putting into seeds. They don't know what's going to happen, and as well as there's no future forecast that we can do that will tell us what we're actually going to wind up with these seeds that's been modified. So the seed banks basically are designed as a hedge against the future, the ultimate security that you have for food supply. And we sell a basic seed bank, which will have seeds and grain in enough to plant over an acre of food. And then we have a personal seed bank, which is designed for about a half acre of planting of grain and of vegetable matter. And then we'll let you build your own. If you buy $50 worth of seed out of our single packs, we'll pack that in a survival bank. And what a survival bank is, we take the seeds that are individually packed in their glassine packs, and we put them in a Mylar bag, a 4.5 millimeter Mylar bag, and then we seal that Mylar bag, and then we put it in a tri-wall PVC pipe, and we seal that pipe, which makes it impervious to being infiltrated by water or by pests or rodents. You can put that in your refrigerator, in your freezer to maintain the temperature. It'll keep for up to 20 years or longer with germination rates of about 75% after 20 years. Or you can bury it in your backyard for the stabilization of the temperature. And so the seed banks is the ultimate hedge. Everybody ought to have one of those. You can plant out of that if you, like we do, about every 2 years I rotate mine just to make sure they stay fresh. I plant that garden and then I put a new one away. So that's the seed banks. And then we sell sprouting kits. This is the time of year that everybody should be sprouting, either the traditional jar sprouting or doing soil sprouting, as I mentioned earlier. And we sell kits to where that to 1 to 3 sets where you get a sprouting jar with a sampling of seeds. And then we sell sprouting seeds as well. So as you come into the store, that's what you're going to see on the front page. You're also encouraged and welcome to browse through. There's lots of information on planting and harvesting and preparation as you make your dream list for next year for what you're going to have to plan for your garden for the coming year.
Well, the telephone number here is 877-996-43. 877-254-7524. 877-254-7524. If you have a question for Buck, anything you'd like to know about planting, he's an expert on this. And then, of course, you do sell a fertilizer, don't you?
Yes, we sell a organic fertilizer that's, as you go to our website and you click on Uncle Buck's Fertilizer, it'll tell you the ingredients that are in there, but it's built upon all organic materials, including bone meal and seed meal and other things like that that enhance it. This coming spring, we'll have a couple of new items that we'll be selling. One of those is going to be worm casings that are excellent for your gardening and other nutrient-adding materials that will be on there come springtime. But right now, the fertilizer is good if you're doing indoor planting. If you have any type of kind of early garden you're putting out, and then once the plants are planted in the ground to enhance the plant, to add to the nutrients of the plant.
All right. Now, basically, certainly we see when we go to the garden shops, potting soil. Should we be, what we're going to be starting our plants, if we're going to be either putting them into boxes or in the soil, should we be using potting soil when we offer our seeds?
Yes, if you're planting seed for transplanting, such as tomatoes or peppers or other seeds that you plan on taking out of a media and putting them into the ground to grow, you want to start those seeds, if you can, with sterile potting soil. And the reason why the sterile is important, that the microorganisms that can attack the early root system have been sterilized out of it, and they do that with heat. You could build your own potting soil by using a composite of about half composting material and half of a decent soil, and to sterilize it, to put it in your oven at 300 degrees for about 15 minutes, and that will kill the microorganisms. The downside of that is your kitchen is going to smell like it's had dirt in it, and my wife doesn't get very happy when I do that. So I have an outdoor kitchen I do that in. But for the typical homeowner, buy an organic potting soil that's been sterilized and start your seeds in that, and you'll have a better germination rate with less disease factor.
All right. Our number again, 877-254-7524. 877-254-7524. Give us a call if you have a question.
Alpha Plastics and Design in Fort Collins presents this message remembering September 11, 2001. We should focus on the courage shown by the police and firefighters who risked and lost their lives attempting to save others. Let the memory of their brave deeds live in our hearts. This is a reminder from Alpha Plastics and Design, 201 Rome Court in Fort Collins, wishing Godspeed to our fighting men and women and thanking them for their triumphs and for their sacrifices.
There are plenty of things you may wish were lower, like your taxes, your commuting time, your weight. But there's one thing people can get lower, car insurance with State Farm. Talk to an agent today about State Farm's new lower car insurance rates. And while you're there, get State Farm's free discount double check. It's just another way a State Farm agent can be there for you. So call an agent 24/7 or visit statefarm.com and find out about State Farm's new lower rates. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Rates apply only in the state of Colorado and are not valid in any other state.
Alpha Plastics and Design in Fort Collins presents this message remembering September 11, 2001. We should focus on the courage shown by the police and firefighters who risked and lost their lives attempting to save others. Let the memory of their brave deeds live in our hearts. This is a reminder from Alpha Plastics and Design, 201 Rome Court in Fort Collins, wishing Godspeed to our fighting men and women, and thanking them for their triumphs and for their sacrifices. Laramie Youth Crisis Center says all too often young people reach out for help to people they love the most but fail to communicate. When a teenager feels they've got no one to turn to, the result is usually tragic. Take time to listen. You could be the difference in a youngster's future. That's from the Youth Crisis Center, offering a home away from home and playing an integral part in our children's well-being. If you're a teen who wants help, call our 24-hour crisis line at 307-742-5936. That's 303-742-5936.
Well, our guest is morning, Buck Keeley. We're talking about gardening and what you should know about gardening. Our number is 877-254-7524. 877-254-7524. If you have a question, Buck, I think, what about tomatoes? Can we actually grow them year-round in a greenhouse, and will be kept tomatoes in the wintertime?
Absolutely. The colder your climate is and the shorter amount of daylight determines how much extra effort it'll take. It used to be only the professionals were able to do this because of the expense of the grow lights. That when you hear grow lights, you think about illegal substances, the volume of profit had to be on that to produce the grow lights for what it takes to do that. But you can buy a full-spectrum light now. They actually have them in UV fluorescent lights. You can get full-spectrum lights for a reasonable amount of price. And you can, in your house, set up in, if you have a sunroom or you have a place where you have a little natural sunlight, augment that with a grow light, fairly inexpensive. For under $30 or $40, you can get a full-spectrum light. And you set up a little garden inside, and that full-spectrum light is going to provide the daylight you need, and then your ambient temperature of your house is going to provide the temperature you need for the soil temperature. Just a couple of little points on that. Number one is that if you set up an area that you're going to grow plants in your house, you have to remember you're going to be getting moisture off those plants. Plants release moisture all the time, and you want to make sure you don't have it in a small, confined area where you have a moisture problem. And number two, the distance of the light from the plant determines how tall the plant gets. In the business, they call it stretching, that plants will grow towards the sun. And the further away that source of light is and the less intense it is the longer the plants get without having the root base or the stem base that's necessary. So you want to have your growth light adjustable so you can bring it down on top of your plants a few inches off, and then bring it up as your plants grow, and that'll provide an environment. It takes effort. When you garden in the season, you go out there and you put your seed in the ground, and your main enemy is fighting the weeds and the animals that want to eat your produce that you're planting. If you farm indoors, you add a couple of layers of difficulty. One is having the adequate source of light, and the second is having an adequate source of heat. But you can grow right in your house about anything you can grow in your garden if you provide heat and light. As a matter of fact, there are industries that grow year-round inside of structures with augmenting light and heat as necessary to produce fruit year-round. So, yes, you can grow in your house, and it's not a bad idea to be doing that. As a matter of fact, it's probably a good idea to do that as you begin to determine what makes plants work and what kind of fertilizers work best, and you can do it on a smaller scale in your house during the off season, so that when you go in the season and you plant multiple plants, that you have greater success because you found out what these plants in your area need as far as the amount of sunlight and heat and nutrients in the soil. I grow indoors during this time of the year. It's not just a hobby. It's part of our production of food, fresh food year round. So it's not a bad idea.
All right. Now, what about, I've heard people talk about pinching off the top of a tomato plant so it doesn't get to be too high and so that it'll be more bushy down below. Is that a good idea?
The pinching of the tomato plant or pepper plant is something you have to do because it got leggy. It stretched. You planted it too early before the adequate amount of sunlight came out, or that when it was when it was grown in the greenhouse, it did not have an adequate amount of light, and it stretches towards that light. And in order to encourage the plant to bush out, as the amount of light gets proper, you pinch the top out, and that forces it to grow a better root system, as well as a heavier stock for the plant. Ideally, if you're going to plant tomato plants, this is not for pepper plants, but for tomato plants, is you take that plant, and when you transplant it, you dig either a deeper hole or you dig a lateral hole, and you pull off the bottom leaves of that plant down to the top four or five good strong top leaf structures, and you plant that entire stem in the ground, and it will root off of that stem. Every place that there was a leaf bud, it will root, and it'll give a super strong root system and provide a stronger and a more healthy plant. That if you buy one that's not healthy, pinch out the top is a good alternate. But the best alternate is get a healthy plant, pull off the bottom leaves, and plant that entire stalk in the ground, and you'll create this healthy root system that will make a good healthy plant.
Well, they're still only going to live a year, and then of course you have to plant them again. I noticed my tomato plants have lots of blossoms on them now. I don't think they're going to produce any fruit, but they've still got blossoms on them, green leaves. And I don't suppose there's much of anything though here in October you can do with a tomato plant that's green, got blossoms on it. What's going to happen?
But like most things, or maybe not, that's not good, most things, like all things, there's a season. And God designed these plants to have a season that they produce. Just like it does in human life, that as a child is born, it goes through its infant years and its adolescent years and into its teenage years and adult years, and you have these years of productivity that the human has developed into where they have families and they produce and get old like me and old like other folks, that your production lowers and pretty soon that you have run the course and it goes into the ground from dirt we came and dirt we go. That's kind of the nature and the cycle of life for plants. And they have a cycle, and you plant that new little seed. It's like having a child germinated in the womb, and as it breaks out of the soil, it's like an adolescent and a child. And its youthful years, it starts to show the marks of the plant that it is and starts to put on some blossoms. And at the full time of its production, you have the fruit that comes off, and when that season's over, it begins to fade away, and we till it under the soil, and back from the dirt it came, and back to the dirt it goes, and it feeds the next generation of plants. And so that's just the cycle of life, and it'll reach a point where those blooms will drop off. They won't produce fruit anymore. It'll come either because of the natural course of lack of sunlight or lack of heat, or the fact the plant's just old, it's reached its maturity, and it's going to go back to the ground where it came. And God just designed our universe to work that way.
Well, I think it's an excellent explanation. I'm sure this is what's going to happen. Well, I guess it's been Buck Keeley. Buck, one more time, your telephone number?
It is 1-888-866-9132. 1-888-866-9132.
God bless. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots biblically based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat and Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom. Good Sabbath. This is Pastor Michael Golden encouraging you to learn more about the gifts God has given you with a life-changing 12-week study we recently taught at the Voice of Many Waters Congregation. This series combines neuroscience research with biblical scripture to help you discover your spiritual gifts. Learn to function from love, not fear. Be at peace with yourself. Feel complete, confident, and spiritually fulfilled as you realize your design in life and the importance of being equipped to serve the kingdom of God. For a love offering of $30 or more, receive a printed or emailed compilation of this in-depth study, scientific research, scripture, and two personal questionnaires. One evaluates brain processing and the other one directs you towards your potential spiritual gifts. Learn how your mind, body, and spirit can heal from past hurts. Discover how to rid yourself of toxic thinking, speech, and bad habits. Realize how to understand yourself and others better, increase discernment, and walk in wisdom, love, and forgiveness using the biblical foundations to build up the body of Messiah. Send your payment to Voice of Many Waters, P.O. Box 626, Johnstown, Colorado 80534, and include your name, address, and phone number or email address. That's P.O. Box 626, Johnstown, Colorado 80534.
Well, I am here at the American Network, and the time I should mention, we are having an all-day conference on the 23rd of October, and of course, people have to have their reservations in this week, because certainly it's a week from this coming Sunday, but we have to know how many people are coming. So if you are considering coming, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927, and the cutoff time will be the end of this week, and after that, why, you're just not going to be able to come. We have to know how many people are going to be here, because, of course, we're serving lunch, and we're going to start at, well, doors will open at 7:30 in the morning, we'll start at 8:30, we'll go through to 5:30 or 6, we're going to specifically design the program so that we can have lots of time for questions and answers. And so there is one problem with most meetings, it's just so crowded with talks, and there's no time for the questions, and lots of times the questions are so vitally important. So all of our speakers thought this would be a good idea, and that's what we're going to do this year. Let's see how it works. Anyway, give us a call if you're interested in coming, and I realize it's a long way from Colorado, but we usually have a contingent. Again, our number is 1-800-544-8927. Another question we do want to mention, of course, that my ministry is primarily listener-supported. Buck Keeley does help support us, but we have him on all of our programs, but we're primarily listener-supported. We've taken on, I think, four new stations in the last 2 months, but they're expensive propositions with each one. And so if you're in a position to help us, we'd love to hear from you. And if you're not in a position to help financially, why, certainly we ask you to pray for what we're doing, because, believe me, ladies and gentlemen, this is a spiritual battle, and there are powerful spiritual forces out there that are simply keeping people from looking and seeing what's going on. It should be very obvious that the American government is behind all of the riots and revolutions and civil strife over in the Near East and the Middle East. And we've already toppled a number of the governments over there. We're in the process of trying to overthrow the Syrian government. And we have NATO troops, which we're financing, training in Turkey, ready for the invasion of Syria. Now, my concern is that if this should happen, President Assad of Syria, who, if he's overthrown, knows that he'll be killed and his family will be killed, they have nothing to lose. He said if NATO invades him, the first thing he'll do is attack Tel Aviv and simply wipe it off the face of the earth. The Israelis have countered by saying, if that should happen, the first thing they'll do would be to destroy Damascus and a new Syrian city every 3 hours. We're talking about what's going on right now. This happened last week, and so they're threatening war. Now, whether it's going to happen, I can't tell you what's going to happen. But I know we're in very, very serious times. And, of course, all of the countries over there are being set up to be overthrown. I'm talking about Jordan. I'm talking about Yemen. I'm talking about Bahrain. I'm talking about Saudi Arabia. I'm talking about the various fiefdoms along the Persian Gulf. We are certainly America's intelligence agencies, the CIA, the invisible government, the Brotherhood of Darkness, is planning on overthrowing all of those countries and turning them over to the Muslim Brotherhood, these radical, extremist Muslims that we've been financing. oh, we've created the best enemy money could buy. But we did that with the Nazis, we did it with the communists, and we're doing it there. And what most people don't understand is communism has been financed from America from its inception. We did the same thing with the Nazis. You need to get my DVD, the book, The Devil's Game, and watch my interview. It's on DVD, The Best Enemies Money Could Buy. The Best Enemies Money Could Buy, number 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Until tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.
Just a good old boy.
Hi, I'm Eric Cederstrup. For over a decade, I've been the CEO, shipping clerk, and janitor of the Patriot Trading Group. And in that time, I've made friends with tens of thousands of like-minded individuals all over this country, most like me, trying to raise a family, run a business, and make sense out of a world gone mad. I'm proud of the fact that through stock bubbles, housing bubbles, and financial chaos, our customers are prospering and doing very well. By keeping our prices fair and our service fast, we find that 80% of our customers not only reorder, but they tell their friends. Don't be fooled by hype and high pressure. Do business with a company you can trust. Call the Patriot Trading Group at 1-800-951-0592 or check out our website at allamericangold.com. You'll be treated with honesty and respect. You have my word on it. I'm Eric C.